from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Coming up on Forum in our opening hour this morning, when nudity became an everyday occurrence at the Castro's Jane Warner Plaza, San Francisco Supervisor Scott Weiner felt the situation had gotten out of hand. Now he has proposed legislation requiring people to wear clothing most places in the city or pay a fine. Is the proposal simply common sense, as supporters argue, or does it criminalize nudity and hamper freedom of expression? We'll talk about it after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Good morning and welcome to this morning's Forum program. State law in California does not ban public nudity, only lewdness. So cities decide what is legally permissible. And San Francisco Supervisor Scott Weiner wants to have public nudity banned. Complaints have come in, especially in the Castro District, which is Supervisor Weiner's district, about naked people lounging around in Jane Warner Plaza. Should public nudity be banned in San Francisco? We take up the debate in this opening Forum hour. And joining us first by phone is Scott Weiner, Supervisor for District 8 in the City and County of San Francisco. Good morning, Supervisor Weiner.
Good morning.
Let me begin by asking you just how serious the complaints have been coming in. I understand that you're getting more complaints about this within your district than there are complaints about Muni or just about any homelessness, anything else.
That's true, although with Muni, sometimes, you know, people get beaten down so much that they just stop complaining. But it's become a significant issue in the neighborhood. For a long time, we've always had sporadic and random nudity in the Castro, someone walking through the neighborhood or whatever, and it's never been an issue. There was a long-time equilibrium, and in the last couple years, that's been turned on its head, and there's daily gatherings of naked guys at Jane Warner Plaza, people walking through the neighborhood, and it's gotten to the point where people who used to be very supportive of public nudity no longer are. So the legislation, to be clear, it doesn't ban all public nudity. It restricts it on streets and plazas and sidewalks with a blanket exemption for street fairs and festivals. It has no impacts on beaches. And public nudity has actually been banned in our public parks for decades.
And it would be banned in restaurants as well and on most property?
No, in restaurants.
Or park property, I should
say. Park property, it's been illegal for at least 30 years. Also at the port for more than a decade. We banned it in restaurants about a year ago, and this legislation would have no impact whatsoever on private property. Nothing.
Well, this is a result to some extent, isn't it, of the changing demographic in the Castro, although there's been public nudity on streets throughout San Francisco. I've seen it in different areas from time to time, and I've read about it on Facebook by people who do sightings. But isn't a lot of this get generated by the changing demographic and the fact that there were, rings being worn, to put it at least somewhat delicately?
Well, it has gotten more extreme lately, and people adorning themselves have been an issue. But really, it's fundamentally about the nudity, not the more extreme behavior. But no, I don't actually think this has anything to do with the changing demographics. Some people have stated that this is only because straight people with kids are coming into the neighborhood, or people from Noe Valley are offended. But that's actually not the primary people who have been expressing concern to me about this are gay men who live in the Castro. So this is not about changing demographics. It's about the fact that the Castro is a neighborhood where people live, where people work, and this is our only public plaza in the Castro, and it has become a daily nudist colony.
What about the argument, and I'm sure we'll hear it from, we have a representative from, those who are in advocacy having nudity in the Castro remain, about civil rights here. You know, the argument is this is a slippery slope. There's an infringement on freedom, and you don't want to go down a slippery slope here.
You know, I don't buy that at all. We have, there are always limits to behavior, and we draw lines all the time. As I mentioned, it's been illegal in our parks for at least 30 years. And when you take something that people accept and you push it to the point where these guys have pushed it, there's going to be a response. And
forgive me, Scott, it's not only guys we're talking about here, is it?
It's 99.9% guys. It's very rare that a naked woman will show up. And I just don't buy the freedom of expression argument here. Freedom of expression is not about taking your pants off at Castro Market and displaying, your genitals to passing traffic and pedestrians. That's not freedom of expression. I also just want to say that I've been in office for almost 2 years, and I was very, very lucky to have this really become a major issue upon my taking office. It was a gift to me, I suppose. And it's certainly not the issue that I wanted to be working on, but it quickly became an issue. And for almost 2 years, I resisted very steady calls to introduce this legislation because I really thought and hoped that this would just run its course and we would go back to the old days when it was just a random and sporadic thing. But unfortunately, it's only gotten more extreme over time.
And what is the status of your legislation?
We are going to have a hearing at a committee of the Board of Supervisors on Monday, November 5th at 10 a.m. I'm sure it will be an interesting and robust dialogue at that hearing, and then I anticipate it will go to the full board by mid-November.
Interesting and robust. Does this mean that there may be some people without clothes?
Interestingly enough, City Hall has a rule that you can't be naked. My own personal view is that if it's good enough for the Castro, it's good enough for City Hall.
Yeah, well, you don't have to worry about going through the electronic equipment that way.
That's true.
Supervisor Wiener, thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Scott Wiener, again, a supervisor for District 8, City and County of San Francisco, sponsoring legislation, as you heard, to ban public nudity in certain parts of San Francisco. And we're talking about, streets, city plaza, parklets, sidewalks, and so forth, public transit. Dan Schreiber's here, staff writer for the San Francisco Examiner. He's been covering this story, a lot of stories to cover, because his beat is both cultural and political and everything. It's become a big deal, though, hasn't it?
And yeah, indeed it has. Oftentimes I take the F car down to Jane Warner Plaza, and sometimes the naked guys are there, sometimes they're not. It depends on the weather a lot of the times. And you walk around, you talk to people in the neighborhood, and some people are just absolutely fed up with it. They roll their eyes. They start screaming. I remember Supervisor Wiener this time last year introduced a piece of legislation. He called it a public health measure, actually, to require these nudists to put a buffer, a cloth buffer of some sort, between themselves and any public seating they choose. The business owners I talked to were saying, well, that's not enough. Others have a live and let live attitude about it, but it's definitely a topic of concern in that neighborhood.
It started out with that legislation, towel or a piece of paper, so it's kind of built up because of the feeling that it just didn't go far enough?
I think so.
That legislation, I mean, yeah.
Like the supervisor said, and as you mentioned, I think he got increasing complaints, it seems, due to the number of men people saw, utilizing a genital jewelry that is designed to, maintain an erection. And as you noted, California state law does not outright ban nudity. It's up to the municipalities and counties to make their own laws. And the San Jose has one, for example. Berkeley has one. San Francisco does not. But the state courts have construed cases as saying California state law does ban lewd behavior, and that can include things like I just mentioned.
San Jose also has a ban, by
Indeed,
the way.
Yeah.
And there are many. The so-called skid mark law, as you know it's often referred to, just didn't really have that much effect, did it?
Well, a lot of the nudists said, you're simply codifying what is already etiquette. So you didn't need to pass that law in the first place. It's like, thanks for the law. They saw it as an attack, but they didn't see it as an important one.
Well, San Francisco is supposed to be, the cool city, high tolerance. There are many who are saying that, along with don't abridge our rights and we want to lounge in the sun. We should be able to lounge in the sun. Castro District, largely associated with gay and lesbians, ought to be a place where freedom reigns.
Yeah, I think a lot of people feel that way. But to be honest, just anecdotally walking around talking, most people appear to be annoyed by it. I mean, the supervisor uses the word exposing. I don't see that. You know, I don't see people going out onto Market Street or into traffic sort of flaunting. I mean, they're just sort of sitting there.
They're usually there, but there's a school nearby. Mm-hmm. There are kids.
Yeah, there are kids. There are kids who walk around, and, you know, it's unfortunate the height of children is at a level where people don't feel comfortable in that plaza.
Isn't the number of children increasing in the Castro district?
I think the census data shows that, yes.
Well, let me give out the phone number and tell you how you can weigh in on this whole subject of proposed ban on, at least partial ban on public nudity. As Scott Wiener said, you know, we'll have Beta Breakers, Folsom Street Fair, nude beaches presumably all remaining intact. I know we have Burning Man also, but that's a good distance from here. Nudity is not necessarily uncommon to the world and culture of the Bay Area, especially San Francisco. But what do you think about this? In fact, we've got listeners well beyond San Francisco here. We're on Sirius, and you may be thinking only in San Francisco. But for some people, this is, you know, a matter of free speech. It was an issue a number of years ago. I remember when they had the nude guy, as he was called, from Berkeley, who we had on this program many years ago, going around, the naked guy, excuse me, going around with women as well. And they were here in the studio without their clothes, by the way, talking about this is our freedom. We like, you know, we like it the way nudists like it. And why should we be hindered? Well, feel free to join the program. Our toll-free number is available. It's 866-733-6786, and that'll work whether you're listening on radio, internet, or Sirius satellite. Again, we invite your calls, 866-733-6786. You can also email us, and our email address is forum@kqed.org, or go to our website and post any questions or comments you have there, kqed.org/forum. Click on the segment. Or go to our Facebook page. A number of ways, obviously, that you can be heard and make your own voice a part of this conversation. And I should mention also, of course, that you can tweet us. Our Twitter handle is @KQEDForum. We've got George Davis on the line with us. And George Davis describes himself as a nudist activist. He ran for mayor of San Francisco 4 times. He's been dubbed Nude Yoga Guy by the media. And he's a grandfather. And he's also someone who feels very strongly about this issue from the sense of advocacy. And George Davis, good to have you on Forum. Welcome.
Yeah, hi. How are you doing?
Okay. For you, this is a matter of freedom. You don't feel that you're offending anybody here, especially parents and those with children or nephews and nieces or school kids?
Okay. I'll just start off with the issue of children. And I can give you three perceptions of the issue of children. Number one, you don't hear this. I have a lot of parents that actually congratulate us for doing this, because it means that they can go home, they can have their children know that they're, you know, feel better about their bodies. We're not deviant if we're practicing nudity at home. So a lot of parents support us, and of course they don't call, they don't call up the supervisors to tell them that. They don't hear from squeaky wheels. Another perspective is that you would think intuitively that children who see nude people would have better conceptualization of the reality of body image, and they would feel more comfortable with their bodies. And there have been psychological studies. I can have people Google up Mark Story, who writes on children, childhood nudity, and education. And then they can go and do other academic research. But the studies do show that, it is beneficial for children to be exposed to nudity.
There are many parents, of course, who feel that modesty is appropriate, or they don't want necessarily their children to be exposed, to use that word again, at an early age. But in fact, I think you've gone on record as saying you will offer $100,000 for 5 years to anyone who can prove that children are harmed by nudity. You have that kind of money available?
Well, okay, no, actually, that's kind of a misquote. It's $1,000 to anyone that can write an intelligent 500-word essay telling me what harm would befall a child who sees a nude adult. And they can submit this essay to urbannudism.com. In 5 years, how many essays do you think I've received?
Well, how much have you publicized this?
It's being publicized right now. It's been publicized all over.
All right. Well, the offer is out there for anybody who wants to take it out. But you feel that you're being essentially...
How many essays do you think I've received?
My guess would be very few.
Try zero.
Okay. There you go. But you're talking about feeling suppressed in terms of personal freedom and the culture being suppressed by Scott Wiener's proposal or his proposed legislation. And I'm wondering how it really harms or interferes with just, for example, the opportunity to put on some pants.
Okay. Well, first off, we're going to an issue of, do you want to tell me why we want to fetishize and make believe that a certain part of our body, which you can either take the perspective that's given to us by God, and, you know, this is part of our God-given body, you know, why do we want to say there's something wrong with a part of our body? It's not part of any religious doctrine. Pope John Paul has expressed repeatedly that there's no shame in the human body.
But I've never seen the pontiff without clothes. Have you?
Well, okay, but I'm telling you, this is his verbal expression. It has not been contradicted by the present pope, Benedict the 16th. So this is. And basically, Spain, which is a Catholic country, has a major free body culture movement, way bigger than this country.
And what about the ring?
Okay, if you take the perspective, I don't wear one, so I don't know. I'm just so you can consider me agnostic on the subject. But if you take the perspective that they're just jewelry, then, you know, where are we going? One time, piercings, ear piercings, having tattoos, non-conforming haircuts, at one time even having a beard, were considered perceptually, socially non-conforming. It's just a matter of taste. It's just jewelry.
Well, let me get your take on that, Dan Schreiber, because we heard Scott Wiener say it's not just jewelry. It's used in many instances to, shall we say, stimulate the way Viagra is.
I don't purport to be an expert on this, Michael, but
understood.
Some people say that it's designed to maintain an erection.
Yeah. And you want to respond to that, George Davis?
Okay. If it's done to respect an erection, erections are actually currently illegal. It's lewd conduct. That's a very much an arrestable offense. No, it's just considered as jewelry. I don't wear one. People tell me that, they like wearing them. It's jewelry. They feel more comfortable with them, and they don't have erections.
All right, George Davis, I appreciate your being with us. George Davis, again, is a nudist activist who ran for mayor 4 times and has been dubbed the nude yoga guy by the media. Obviously, has and continues to speak out on this and has an offer open to any of you who can prove harm here. There are many supporters of Scott Wiener in the Castro District. Dan Schreiber, I think we heard that from Scott Wiener himself. What about on the other side? I mean, we heard George Davis say that people are coming up to him, and I don't think it's in droves, but he seemed to suggest that there are lots of people who are saying this is great and, we celebrate the human body and God gave us the right and all that.
Yeah, sure. I mean, often people don't even take it that far. I think the nudists you talk to are just – they just want to be left alone. They're not – the ones I talk to are not trying to draw attention to themselves. They're just sitting out on the little metal chairs in Jane Warner Plaza and they're just basking in the sun basically. And when this matter gets heard at City Hall, you expect some kind of – hubbub to occur, but there's really nothing. You hear Scott explain his legislation. You hear the supervisors discuss it. They unanimously approved the towel legislation last year. So I think this drama sort of plays out in the plaza itself, and most people who are nudists are just kind of do their thing and don't necessarily involve themselves heavily in this.
Well, we've got Daniel Bergerac with us. He owns Mud Puppies. That's a dog grooming business on Castro Street, and we wanted to hear from a merchant. But let's go to a caller first, actually, and that's Carol. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi there.
Hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
So I'm a resident of the Castro. I'm also a gay woman, and I've lived in the Castro for about 6 years, and I just want to call to let Supervisor Wiener know that that I'm really interested in what he has to say, and I feel like he's made some fair comments. And my two main points are one, he's not taking away the right to be in public and naked. I feel like he's asking for a compromise. And to walk daily is one thing, to see a group of naked men, and to see it occasionally is another. And I'm all for expression and, you know, live and let live. But when you see it daily, it kind of wears on you. And my second point is more about image in the media. I think as a gay community, we have a lot of work to do. And the portrayal of seeing a lot of gay men hanging out doesn't really help us when we're trying to fight for equality and rights. And I think the perception is, you know, all gay people or all gay men are pedophiles, and there's a lot of misconceptions. And I feel like now is the time just to kind of rein together and come across as a very solid community with high integrity. And it's just the time to kind of say, let's put our personal beliefs aside and go for the greater cause.
Oh,
that's
Carol,
basically my comment.
Yeah, no, I thank you for that comment. I appreciate your calling us. And it gets down to the fact, Dan Schreiber, that the conflating of this with gay rights and, you know, or gay lesbian rights has been certainly put to rest in many respects. Cleve Jones, for example, well-known gay activist, said this wouldn't be tolerated in Senator Feinstein's neighborhood or Congresswoman Pelosi's neighborhood. And it's probably true.
Yeah. I mean, I think that nationally you're seeing the gay rights movement shift from you know, in the 70s and 80s, it was about coming out to the world, showing pride in that lifestyle. And I think, you know, to a large part, it that succeeded. And now the conversation has shifted to how can we mainstream more into society. You have topics like same-sex marriage, and I think there are a lot of LGBT people who feel it's time to blend with the fabric.
Well, we'll get another caller on here. Steve, hi, you're on.
Hi, I am also a resident of the Castro. I am a straight male, married, two kids, 9 and 7 years old. We see the naked men, and they are men, in the Castro, you know, weekly, I'd say. But I'm not really put off by it, and I think that there needs to be a distinction, and you brought this distinction up, between lewd behavior and walking around naked. I think there are clear freedom of expression rights that need to be protected in a city that prides itself on protecting civil rights.
Well, what do you feel about, you know, the sense that other parents feel very differently than you? They feel, in the Castro, in fact, Cleve Jones was saying the other night he can't bring his niece to a sing-along at the Castro Theater. I mentioned that already, that Cleve Jones is a gay activist, well-known for the big quilt that he was involved in, the AIDS quilt. Some thoughts on that from
yeah,
you, Steve?
I mean, you know, When my children see a naked guy walking down the street, they're not inspired to go and walk naked on the street. And they don't see their father inspired necessarily to walk naked on the street. But they're exposed to someone who is, as the earlier speaker said, someone who's comfortable with their body.
Okay, we're coming up on a break. We'll hear from more of you when we return. Toll-free number is 866-733-6786, or go to our website, kqed.org/forum. Click on the segment or to our Facebook page. Let us know what your thoughts are. I'm Michael Krasny. This is Forum. This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. When nudity became an everyday occurrence at the Castro's Jane Warner Plaza, San Francisco supervisor Scott Weiner felt the situation had gotten out of hand, and now he's proposed legislation requiring people to wear clothing in most places in the city or pay a fine. And we're talking about that legislation, but also talking about whether, well, public nudity in neighborhoods like the Castro or in the streets of San Francisco is advisable, appropriate, within the realm of freedom. We spoke earlier with Supervisor Weiner from the District 8 of City and County of San Francisco. We also spoke with George Davis, a nudist activist, and Dan Schreiber is here with us, staff writer for the San Francisco Examiner, who's been covering the story. Now we want to speak with Daniel Bergerac, who is the owner of Mud Puppies. They're a grooming business on Castro Street. Daniel Bergerac, good to have you with us.
Good morning.
Good morning. I assume we don't have to worry about the dogs and nudity, but in terms of your business, you want to attract more people and you feel this is hurting.
I feel that the Castro is an all-inclusive neighborhood. And when I hear people like Cleve Jones saying that his niece can't bring her children to the Castro to go to the sing-alongs, I have to wonder who it is that's being oppressed. The Castro is a major transit hub. It is an inclusive gay neighborhood, but it has to be open for everybody. And if people are made uncomfortable by having men wave their genitalia in their face, then something has to be done.
Of course, they're not saying that they're waving. In fact, they're just lounging around and getting the sun. That's what the argument is.
You know, a year ago, Michael, I thought the naked guys were sort of a fun little addition to the neighborhood. In that time, they have begun lurking in the neighborhood. They've begun really with the adornments to their genitalia. They're not lounging in the sun. They're exposing themselves. They're exhibitionist. And there's a difference between a nudist laying in the sun in Jane Warner Plaza and somebody lurking and being an exhibitionist.
So you think this is a kind of growing movement attracting deviants?
I think that the nudity in Jane Warner Plaza invites bad behavior in Harvey Milk Plaza, where we also have problems.
And you think this, if it doesn't have legislation, will expand or become more common?
I do. I think it'll just become more of a problem. And I really support Scott on this.
And what about the other merchants? Have you had a chance to?
I've talked to many other merchants, and they all agree enough is enough. It's gotten out of control.
Well, I thank you for joining us, and it's good to have your point of view with us. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Michael. Have a good day.
You too. And that is Daniel Bergerac, who again owns Mud Puppies on Castro Street. And let's go to more of your calls. Desmond is joining us. Desmond, you're on.
Hi there. Basically, just want to voice my concern here. I just heard a lot about the merchants in the Castro, and what I actually heard from the owner of Mud Puppies was that the Castro should be inclusive, who is being oppressed, but the Castro should be open for everyone. I think part of that there, I'd like to address. Let's call it real. Lewd is going to be lewd behavior. And we do have laws already that enforce lewd behavior, or it's left up to the law enforcement, SFPD, to interpret what lewd behavior is. So we do have laws already that regard that. And, with that, we don't really need to create new laws. We need to, enforce the ones that exist. But the other thing that I'm looking at, too, is what I call tunnel vision. I think a lot of people, because of the shock of the nudity, I think they only see the nudists. They don't see that in Jane Warner Plaza, there's 20-something people fully clothed that are actually sitting there having coffee, relaxing, enjoying the sun as well. So they see the nudity. We talk about the children going to Castro Theater, going to a sing-along. Castro has always been, at least since I've been here about 8.5 years, it's always been an adult neighborhood. We have smoke shops. We probably have about 10 smoke shops in the Castro. With hookah pipes, we have porn stores there. We have probably 15 gay bars alone, and we have drunk people walking around. We have in Jane Warner Plaza itself. We have, I walk to Starbucks in the morning, and I go through there, and I see meth heads tweaking from the night before, and this is on a daily occurrence. So I mean, there's far larger issues at stake. We have homeless people who are laying in the Castro Theater, and I as I've gone day by day, I've seen that number of people under there grow. I was walking down the street and I saw a homeless woman pull down her pants and urinate on the sidewalk full daylight. So I think there's a lot more to be concerned with, and we want to just see the nudity mainly because it's in your face.
Well, all right, thank you for those comments. Let me go back if I could to you. Dan Schreiber, the caller makes a point. There's a lot of other behavior that's certainly unsightly, unseemly for children in the Castro.
I think, as we all know, San Francisco is a city full of neighborhoods, and those neighborhoods change over time. A lot of them are, you know, dynamically change. And sure, I mean, there's a, for example, the Hot Cookie, which is right next door to Jane Warner Plaza. You can get, you know, penis-shaped cookies. I mean, there's a lot of other elements in the Castro for children to see that you know, maybe these same people would have problems with.
What do you think about the remarks that we heard from Daniel Bergerac, though, about lurking? He used that word, you know, it's a loaded
word. You know,
word.
I don't have any indication. I'm not a police reporter. I have not read our police reporter write that story. Some of the nudists, this latest round of legislation, have complained of an increased police presence, maybe due to that perception. I just don't see it.
Do you see perhaps more police presence or greater enforcement if Supervisor Wiener's legislation is passed? And I mean, the fines we're talking about are start off what, $100?
It's $100 for a first offense, $200 for a second offense, and I believe it's $500 for a third offense or a misdemeanor charge. You get to choose, apparently, or the police officer would choose.
Police are terribly understaffed as it is, though.
Sure. Know. Sure, yeah, and they've got a lot of problems to deal with in this city as it is. I think that, again, the enforcement is going to be up to City Hall and up to police is if they're going to make it a priority.
Well, one of our listeners, Kelly, asks, and you may have an answer for this, Dan, but will the legislation have impact on anyone who wants to breastfeed in public?
No, I believe the legislation only deals with covering the genitals and buttocks, so it does not address breasts. Or exposure of breasts.
Let me read some more of your emails. Andrew writes, nudity is a problem only because of our outmoded puritanical nudity taboo. Easy solution, just get over it. No state repression needed. This is not the state, though. This would be the city. Again, I would remind you. Craig on our website says, or asks, banning people because some other people find them offensive is wrong. Should we ban all offensive people? Just a few years ago, people felt gay people should not hold hands in public or kiss in public because they thought it was disgusting. Should they have banned these activities because some people thought them offensive? Now, what have you found out in your coverage of this, Dan, again, in terms of the conflating of gay issues and LGBT issues and freedom?
Well, like I said, it's... people feel like they just should have the right to walk around naked, and other people feel like they should have the right not to have to see that or confront that on a daily basis. And so I think there's a, you know, that's where the conflict arises. But I think most of the nudists I talk to there definitely feel like it's their right to be naked.
Let me read some more of your comments from our website. Desmond writes, the ban is a pick and choose law. It is in writing, however. As Scott said, it will only be enforced if it is needed and enforced towards certain individuals. We already have a lewd in public law, which covers what he is trying to do, and that is not enforced. Why create a second law only to have two laws on the books that only get enforced on special occasions? The new proposed ban hurts a larger community. Saturday in Jane Warner Plaza, you will see various groups who are against the ban, including the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence and upstanding people from the leather community. It's not just about nudity. Another listener on our website writes, these people are nothing but perverts and exhibitionists. We shouldn't be forced to participate in their kink just by virtue of walking down a public sidewalk. And we asked our social media whether or not public nudity should be outlawed. Some of the answers, tweeted to us by a listener, only if you're not hot. Another listener writes on our Facebook page, nudity will never be banned in San Francisco. They've blocked off entire streets and cops just stand there and watch people walking around naked doing nothing. It's so weird. Every festival they have, police are just standing around. People are naked and doing sexual acts and people just look, and I just don't get it. And a listener tweets, when I was a kid, my mom said, if you've seen one, you've seen them all. This is San Francisco. Let naked be naked. Lisa writes, driving through the Castro, my 5-year-old daughter, who, yes, was giggling at seeing butts, said, well, they must just feel more comfortable that way. I do. Natalia writes, I'm a 29-year-old female professional living in Noe Valley, and I first fell in love with San Francisco in large part because of its acceptance of nudity, free speech, and the LGBTQ community. I've never understood America's unhealthy views on nudity and the human body and would never vote to repress people's rights to be human and be naked wherever they please. I simply don't understand what's offensive about nudity. Gabriel writes, Scott Wiener called the wearing of genital jewelry obnoxious, but if you live in San Francisco, you come across a lot of different kinds of obnoxiousness. Will Supervisor Wiener try to ban cell phone calls on muni buses? And what about sagging jeans? What about opposite-sex couples holding hands in the Castro? We have the right to be obnoxious. Another listener tweets, the purpose of good manners is consideration of the feelings of others. These people are simply bad-mannered. And Mickey writes, I'm a gay man with a 4-year-old girl, and she'll probably go to kindergarten at Harvey Milk. Really, nudity is such a high priority for Wiener. So many empty storefronts, and this is worth mobilizing riot police last week. Wiener has a strange sense of priorities. Where I work in the Castro, where my daughter comes to visit me, there are storefronts to the left and right with depictions of bondage, S&M, dildos, etc. A couple naked guys walking around are vanilla. What's your next move, Wiener? Personally, I'd never go nude. I avoid the sun, but I don't see the problem or the resources being spent to get rid of it. And again, if you want to add your voice, you can go to our website at kqed.org/forum and click on this segment, or go to our Facebook page or tweet us. Our Twitter handle is at kqedforum, and we'll go to more of your calls. And by the way, the toll-free number, 866-733-6786. Mary, good morning.
Hi, good morning. I've been a resident of the Castro for 21 years, and I've never had a problem with nudity. I've raised 2 daughters here. We've taken them to the Castro Street Fair, Halloween nights. It's never been an issue, but I have to say that within the last year, I feel the nudists are really being exhibitionists. There's a big shift in the attitude. You know, I cross market at Castro Arnoy several times a day, and I see people walking back and forth and exposing themselves. And maybe we don't need a new law, but maybe we need some law to be enforced. You know, as a resident of 21 years, I've never felt like that before.
Are you in favor, then, of Supervisor Wiener's legislation?
Yeah, I don't like to legislate anything, but I don't know. I don't know. Maybe there are laws on the books that could be enforced right now.
All right. Well, I thank you for the call. You know, we get the sense from, Daniel Bergerac and that call, Dan Schreiber, that things, are getting worse. I mean, I can remember going to nude beaches many years ago, and for a while they were quite innocent, almost pastoral in a way, but they did attract people who associate nudity with other kinds of activities or with other kinds of behaviors, and it almost seems almost like a natural, organic kind of outgrowth.
I mean, sure, I don't live in that neighborhood, so I don't see it 24 hours a day. I think sort of lewd behavior is hard to quantify, or whether or not it's quote-unquote getting worse. I think that, you know, perception is reality to a large extent, so if people think it's getting worse, it's getting worse. And like we see from U.S. Census data, there are more children, there are more families, especially in neighboring Noe Valley, and the neighborhood's changing.
Well, we'll hear from some more of our callers, and we'll go to you, Jennifer. Hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. This is a great topic. It's so rich in so many ways, and I'm glad you have so many great comments coming in. I definitely am on the side of, I grew up with a lot of nudity around me. I don't like clothing. If I had my way, I wouldn't ever wear it. It's just a total annoyance. But I will say a couple points, and I just wanted to kind of bring this into the topic if it hasn't been brought in. I'm a person who was sexually abused as a child by my grandfather, and although it's funny that I turned out to be somebody who's totally comfortable around nude bodies and I don't have any problem with it, I know a lot of people, and it's not a small population of people who've been abused, who have a huge button that can get pushed on having to see genitalia or male genitalia or whatever it is that pushes their button. And I finally realized as an adult, I thought, you know what, I can wear clothes. It actually could be offensive to somebody, and it's just not such a big deal for me to put clothes on. So I just think that's a part of the population that might be interesting to hear from, although I will say with this neighborhood, I think it's most important the topics from the actual neighbors. They're the ones who know if it's lewd behavior or if it's just nudity or what it is.
Now, Jennifer, I thank you for your comments, and I appreciate your calling, and we'll go to another call right off here, and that's you, Kurt. Good morning.
Hi, I'm also a gay man in the Castro, and I think there's a gray area here that has to do with what one of the other callers was talking about, which is the attitude. I think, especially as a gay man coming out, one of the things that we did was, in the normalizing, you wouldn't just go and be gay somewhere in the sense that you were being histrionic about it. And these people who say, well, it should be normalized and it should be fine, well, you're not treating it as fine. You're going to a particular place and almost having a naked Occupy movement, as it were, in some places. If you want to be naked, if you want to normalize it, why aren't you in North Beach? Why aren't you in Union Square or in the Richmond? go be naked everywhere. When I encounter someone who's nude, say shopping or whatever, it doesn't bother me. I think it's fine. There's something about the attitude of I'm going to make you respond to this that I think there's an emotional response to in the Castro that I think a lot of us have.
Well, Kurt, I thank you for that. And it brings up another question. It's a little, you know, at the risk of bringing up something that some people would interpret as lookist, it's been brought up time and again, and I'm sure you've heard it, Dan Schreiber. These are from the perspective of many of the people who have these naked men, for the most part, walking in from 99.9%, Scott Wiener said, although there are certainly tales of women also.
There are very few women.
Very few, I realize. Yeah. But the idea that these are not the most attractive people to look at has come out time and time again.
Well,
I mean, and this may be just a sense of aesthetic judgment.
Sure.
But those who have observed have said this over and over again.
Well, I think there are a lot of people who just don't think men look good naked. I don't know. Yeah, a lot of them are older men. And, you know, time wears on the body and... Yeah,
there is an aesthetic fact here.
There is an aesthetic fact. Yeah, you know, a lot of the comments you hear is like, "Oh, I don't want to see this fat guy, this fat naked guy," and you know, often you'll hear the naked guy complaint preceded by some kind of descriptor like ugly, fat, whatever.
So I keep reading and hearing. Yeah, one of our listeners, Samuel, writes, "Look away." Joshua writes on our Facebook page, "I've been listening to this program, and so far what I hear is a lot of people complaining that nudity offends them and makes them uncomfortable. But so far I haven't heard, just as the nudity activist you had on a moment ago said, give your listeners an argument over exactly how public nudity is violating anybody else's rights. Offense, irritation, aversion, these things are not themselves reasons to restrict other people's civil rights. Without a clear, specific description of how public nudity is harmful, these complaints sound to me like a bunch of people projecting their own feelings of body shame onto others." And Marshall writes, "I have 3 children, ages 10, 10, and 12. The argument that exposing my children to nudity concerns me because it's basically the same thing as arguing that taking my kids to the Castro will harm them because they are exposed to seeing same-sex couples together isn't true." And we'll go to more of your calls, and we'll welcome Aaron. You're on.
Hi. My comment is that it seems to me that this is less about nudity and nudist and more about exhibitionism and exhibitionists. If it was about nudity, they would be fine being in the least less populated areas, just getting naked, being natural, but they don't. They need to be in a really high-profile area because they feed on people watching them and people looking at them, especially the people who don't want to see them. You know, as Harry Hay called this would be a subject-object relationship where it's kind of one-sided. And that's my comment.
Okay, we appreciate your comment, and we'll get more comments. We'll go to Jeff next. Jeff, join us.
Yes, I wanted to make a comment that nude is not lewd. And if there are people in the Castro, I live in the Castro, I'm straight, I have a family, I have kids, and we see this every day. And if there are people who are there or exposing themselves, which I would construe as somebody opening their raincoat or kimono and exposing their genitalia, that's not the case if somebody is already nude. And if the police are there, they should just maybe talk to one or two of these people and just let them know that there's a difference between being lewd and being nude. And in India, this idea of being sky-clothed or walking around naked any place is a 2,000-year-old tradition. And I don't think that maybe what goes on in the Castro would pass for what goes on Chestnut Street in the Marina. But I just think that this idea of legislating very selective legislation, which has very selective enforcement possibilities, is not a good idea for San Francisco.
Well, Jeff, I thank you for the call. And let's talk to you, Dan Schreiber, about this distinction between nude and lewd that the caller brings up. I mean, because this gets to the heart of a lot of what's been raised here in the course of this hour. Sometimes it's hard to distinguish.
Yeah, indeed. That's a really blurry line because, again, it depends on one's perception. I mean, some people believe it's lewd to simply be naked, and other people think, well, it's not lewd until you draw attention to it, or it's not lewd until, you know, you have an erection. Like, there's just – everyone has a different line of what's lewd, and they come from different – places, especially in the city, and with different values. And so that's just a really hard thing to define, which I'm sure is a huge challenge for the local police to enforce, because then they're forced to make that determination as well.
What kind of response did you get to talking to citizens in the Castro, for example, about the distinct nature of Scott Wiener's proposal? That is, there are certain things that are exempt, parades and, you know, beta breakers and nude beaches and so forth.
Sure, yeah. I think that those places are sacred to a lot of people, and I honestly don't think the supervisor wants to trample on that. Baker Beach is a well-known, at least parts of it are a well-known nude beach. The Folsom Street Fair is one of the, you know, nationally recognized display of BDSM and sexual freedom type activities. Beta Breakers, of course, is beloved by the whole city and includes naked people. So I think Scott is trying to solve a problem in a neighborhood, solve complaints in a neighborhood, while at the same time not trampling on the culture of San Francisco as it relates to being nude and open sexually in public.
Well, he's getting a lot of complaints from his constituents, isn't he? I mean, that's
what he says.
That's,
yeah,
that's what he says.
I mean,
that's
I don't work
argument,
in his
yeah.
office, but that's what he says.
Well, we'll go to a caller over in Noe Valley. Steve, hi, you're on.
Hi, thanks for taking the call. I am in Noe Valley. I've got a four-year-old. However, I'm also, and I'm straight, but I'm also part of the kinky community in San Francisco. And so there's a couple of points I want to make. One of them is, in relation to a point someone else made about it, is that the kinky community is all about consent. And this is something that's sort of been put on us without our consent. When it regards to the children, it's not just a question of whether or not you show children this, because obviously the parent's response is going to be what's most important, but it raises the issue at a time when the parent doesn't have the discretion about when they're able to bring this issue up. So it's just a question of, like, suddenly your child is confronted with a penis and you have to deal with it right then and there, and that may not be something you want to deal with at that moment.
You know, there was a time, Steve, when male genitalia were not allowed on the movie screen. It's still rare. More rare than it is commonplace to see that. So a lot of people grow up with these taboos.
Right, and actually, I mean, there was a time on television when you couldn't have a married couple be in the same bed together. And some of these things should change. And you know, but to a large extent, this isn't the question of whether or not we've got a social contract that we're all going to wear clothing or not, because that's sort of a contract that we've all bought into. And this is a very small minority. And I do believe that it has become a show. And one other point I wanted to touch on was the tourism factor. I live there, and I see tourists, literally out-of-towners, coming up and, can I take a picture with the naked guy? And so I think we've lost the point where it's nudity everywhere, and it's really just become an exhibition thing. And I think, you know, the owner of the the Mud Puppies, I think, made a lot of good comments about turning it into much more of a presentation than just a statement of rights. But I am torn on the subject, because an alternative sexual community wants to support these kind of things. But the locus of it just being in the one place is also a sort of compelling statement about why it's a protest or a show as opposed to a lifestyle.
Well, thank you, Steve. Good to hear from you. Appreciate your comments. This is a kind of tourist thing, hasn't it become, Dan?
Yeah, indeed. I think people come to San Francisco and they want to see some activism, they want to see some protests, they want to see some naked guys. And, you know, it's like I said, it's at the end of the F line, the historic streetcar ends up right there in Jane Warner Plaza.
Streetcar named Desire.
and you see a lot of cell phones poked out the windows of that streetcar taking pictures of these guys, and, you know, they're receptive to it, they're friendly about it, and so that's just the way things are down there.
The nudist activist we spoke to, George, has said the tourists love us. There's some truth to that then, huh?
Yeah, I'm sure the tourists, you know, love seeing it and going away from it. I think there's a different perception by people who live there and see it every day. And it is. It's a busy public center. I believe Supervisor Wiener has made a point. This is the only usable public square in our neighborhood, and it's often dominated by naked guys, and it should be for everyone and not just for them.
Let us hear from some more of our listeners who want to weigh in on this. Mark, you're next. Hi. Oh, Mac, excuse me.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
I consider myself pretty liberal, and I also happen to think that everybody should have the freedom of expression, whether it's art and things like that. However, with respect to people under the age of 18 and over the age of 18, I believe similarly to how it is inappropriate for those of us who are adults to, you know, see people under the age of 18 nude, I think vice versa it is appropriate. there's a time and a place to learn about the human body, and I don't think the sidewalk in the Castro district is it.
Okay, I thank you for the call. And let me just go back, Dan Schreiber, to you on this. Any sense of the pulse of where the supervisors are going to stand on this or how this legislation is going to float?
Well, if the last round is any indication, I don't see, again, I don't see a lot of controversy. It's not like when this issue pops up, there's a bunch of naked guys storming into City Hall. First of all, it's not allowed. Second of all, like I said, a lot of them have a live and let live attitude. They just sort of want to sit there and bask in the sun. Now, that's different. When something like this comes up, often there's I think there's an annual nude in as well, but there's some sort of reaction where a lot of naked guys get together in that plaza and sort of express their right to be naked in San Francisco for now.
Well, we will continue to follow this story, and many thanks to you, Dan Schreiber, for spending this time with us. Dan Schreiber.
Yeah, thank you, Michael. It's great to be here.
Staff writer for the San Francisco Examiner. We spoke with Scott Weiner earlier, supervisor for District 8, and George Davis, a nudist activist, and Daniel Bergerac, owner of Mud Puppies, a dog grooming business on Castro Street. We are here with you Monday through Friday, 9 to 11, with an hour repeat at 10 to 11 in the evening. Remind you, you can continue this discussion by going to our website, kqed.org/forum, and click on the segment and continue it on our Facebook page. The discussion obviously continues, and we encourage that. You can also let us know what you think about what you hear on Forum by going to our website or to our Facebook page or tweeting us. And our Twitter handle, again, is at KQED Forum. Want to remind you that another hour of Forum is coming your way. Louise Erdrich, one of our finest living novelists, will be with us. We're going to talk about her new book and her work, and I hope you will join us for that. The new book is called The Roundhouse. And also, let me tell you who is behind the scenes here. Our senior editor is Dan Zoll. Our producers are Judy Campbell, Irene Noguchi, Tina Larberg, with production assistance from Suki Lewis. Our engagement producer is Amanda Stupai, with online support from David Marks. And our engineer is Danny Bringer. Forum senior editor is Dan Zoll. Executive producer, Raul Ramirez. And for all of us here at KQED Public Radio, I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio, the Germanicos Foundation, and the Generosity Foundation in honor of Louise and Claude Rosenberg, and by a generous gift from Jan Schrem and Maria Minetti Schrem, owners of Clos Pegase Winery, who believe that all people deserve access to education, information, and culture for a lifetime of exploration and learning.